Have you ever experienced being told something that you believe that later turned out to be false? Not everybody? Wow. Incredible. I'm not talking about some jokester that tells you some shocking news just to see the look on your face. I don't even know who would ever do that. So because of those chuckles, you know that that was a false statement, because everybody knows I'm that joker. And Rebecca is usually the recipient. Sister. She's pointing her finger at me. It's not always easy to tell the difference between the truth and a falsehood, or as our Bible likes to say, an error. We tend to want to believe what people say. We tend to want to believe what we see with our eyes. But even our eyes can deceive us into thinking that's something that's not true. When Charlene and I were young, some of you know Char or knew Char. When she and I were young, first married, we were invited to a Christmas party to the workplace that I was at. It turned out to be at the Hyatt Regency. Talk about hoity-toity, eh? Definitely out of my league. I didn't fit in. I was scared to go. I wore cowboy boots to the Hyatt Regency. I definitely didn't fit in. I'm a redneck. Always have been. And I went in there scared. However, when I saw the buffet tables, Lord. Oh, get behind me, Satan, because I can eat. Anyway, all of my fear was dismissed when I saw this food. In fact, at one of the tables, the main entree table, there was a chocolate log. I mean, Lord, on the entree table, this thing was 5 inches in diameter. It was great. I cut a slab off of that and threw it on my plate first of all. I'm a true believer that life is short. You should start with dessert. So that's what I threw on my plate. And then one of my other coworkers, who was a good friend of mine, he points out to this big sausage thing that was either guacamole or avocado. I thought, this is fantastic. This isn't main entree stuff. Man, I took a slab of that and I threw it on my plate, and it was fantastic. So I took a whole bunch of other of the food there, but at the end of this story, you're going to realize why I don't even remember what else I ate. When I sat down, I took a spoonful of that avocado. It was creamy. It was going to be awesome. I stuck it in my mouth, and I used my tongue to push it to the roof of my mouth. I just wanted to spread all that flavor over my whole tongue to just to get all of that flavor in. And within a very short period of time, my sinuses start to feel weird, and then all of a sudden, my head blew up like Mount Vesuvius. Oh, man. I couldn't get this out of my mouth fast enough. I ran around like a lunatic. I jumped around, and I didn't stop jumping around until my crying stopped. I realized that it was wasabi. It wasn't starting out to be a great evening. So as soon as the tears stopped, I decided I would clear my palate and save my poor crispy taste buds with chocolate. So I scooped the chocolate up, and yeah, it was rich, and it was going to be beautiful. I stuck it in my mouth, and you know what? It was liver pate. I don't remember the rest of that evening. I don't remember if I had steak, chicken, prime rib. I don't remember any of that. And by the time I got home, I realized I should have tasted and tested everything that went on my plate. I was led astray. I was deceived by my own ignorance. Why didn't I test it? Why didn't I just take a sample instead of taking off a slab of liver pate that I thought was chocolate? I mean, it looked great. Testing the spirits. We're told to test everything. So, and although this story, as true it is as it is, has nothing to do with biblical example. Yet, we are told to test everything. People are easily deceived. If it were not true, we wouldn't be warned so many times in the Bible. I'm going to go through a couple of these. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. Oh, there it is. Do you know that Bryce got home late last night? I sent these to him and he already has them up there. Isn't this amazing? Thank you, Bryce. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will be deceived." Many will be deceived. Let's go down to verse 11 of the Matthew 24. "And many false prophets will appear and deceive many." Mark 13, 5 and 6. Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many." Now Mark repeats what Matthew said because it was the same incident. But that's how important it is. Romans 16, 17 to 18. "I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people." Ephesians 5 and 6. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." Colossians 2 and 8. I love this one. "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." How descriptive is that? To take you captive, to lead you away from your God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction." Don't be deceived. How many times do we hear that? And we hear it in different ways, don't we, in the Bible? In each of these warnings against deception, Christians are reminded to be mindful of what we hear and see so we don't stray from the truth. The Bible does tell us what we need to know to ward against deception, and it's this. John 8, 31 to 32. "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we pass on to you, whether by word or by mouth or by letter. So if we hold to his teachings, we will know the truth. And if we know the truth, it is easier to tell what is false. When we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, when we hear his word, when we feel his word, we know the truth. We're also told to test what is being said. And it is this that we're going to be studying today. Our main passage is 1 John 4, verse 1 to 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Wow. They are from the world and therefore speak the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. We have information here that allows us to not be duped, not be deceived. But that doesn't mean it can't happen. We have to be cautious. In verse 1, when John says, dear friends, we know that he's speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the Christians of that day that he's speaking to. It starts out as a warm welcome. Dear friends, but these six verses are a warning, and a dire warning, actually one of life and death that Christ gives us. Warning the Christian church to question the things seen and heard to ensure they are from God. Goes on. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. John tells us we are to test the spirits. So obviously, not everything good that we see and hear is from God. Where does this come from? We're told later on that it's the spirit of the Antichrist, isn't it? Who is out to deceive, to corrupt. There are evil and deceptive spirits. Now, when John talks about spirits, he doesn't just talk about the heavenly realm or the spiritual realm. He's talking about everyone that speaks. So we're not only to test the spiritual realm, the spirits, but also the man and the woman that speak on what they believe is God's behalf. If it weren't so simple of a task to tell the difference between good and evil, Christians wouldn't need a warning. We wouldn't need to test the spirits, and we'd never be deceived. What a day that would be. But we know it's not that simple. John lets us know why we need to be careful. Because many false prophets, he says, have gone out into the world. It is these false prophets that want to mislead and deceive those who walk with God and who seek God. The sole purpose of the evil one is to deceive those who are reaching out to hold on to God. Those false prophets are of the world, spreading a worldly message to corrupt others using cunning lies, evil persuasion, half-truths, and believe it or not, our own desires. If we hold on to the truth that God has given us, we will endure. And if it were not possible to deceive born-again Christians, we wouldn't have an example like the Galatians. I mean, even born-again Christians are deceived. Galatians 3, verse 1, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Now, this comes out of Galatians, where Paul confronts them for being led astray by false prophets. They were conned into believing salvation is earned by following the law, not by what they had previously been taught, that salvation is a gift by grace through faith and only comes through Jesus Christ. This example clearly shows us that new believers can be deceived, because that's who the Galatians were. They were new believers. But maybe it's only the young, the immature in Christ that have to be worried, that have to be warned. Christy's shaking her head. No, I agree. Let's look at Matthew 24:24. "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if it were possible." This is a message to all believers, even the elect, the mature Christian. We all need to be careful. We all need to test the spirits. We all need to rely on the truth that is in our scriptures that has been given to us by God, to know the truth from error. As John continues in verse 2 and 3 of our passage of 1 John, he explains how we can tell the difference between right and wrong. Verse 2 and 3. "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." John is writing this letter towards the end of the first century. False prophets are spreading the belief that Jesus Christ was not and had never been a man. We know this is false. The belief of Docetism suggests that Jesus' physical body was either a phantom or an illusion. You could see Jesus, but you couldn't touch him. You would reach out your hand and it would go right through him. He didn't stand on the ground. He didn't touch it. They could believe he was God, by what he said and the miracles he did. But they couldn't believe that he came in the flesh. Their belief was that all matter was evil. And God was so pure, he could not unite with that as Jesus. So their belief was he was only God. This is why John says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. John is addressing that day. Now, today, we don't see that as readily. This isn't the main reality of today. Possibly due to archaeological, historical proof that surrounds a time and culture of a man called Jesus, people find it easier to see him as a man and not as God. Now, this is no different. This is still believing only half of the truth. Both beliefs are lies. Some might think, what does it matter? I believe in God. I pray to God. I love God. But the two are separate entities. That Jesus can be man and God can be God. But it does matter. Satan only has to confuse to corrupt. Satan gives a little bit of truth with a whole bunch of lie. So it looks like it's real. It looks like it's the truth. And we accept the lie. To believe half a truth and deny half a truth is still denying the truth. To confirm the truth that Jesus Christ came as a man and fully God, let's look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. Let's look at John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And one more, Colossians 9, verse 10. For in Christ all the fullness of a deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. You see, it's the Bible that verifies the truth. If we hear something that we don't believe, we need to go to the Bible, and if we don't, we're failing. Now, John carries on with the second half of verse 3 to explain the spirit that is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in this world. Now, in the Greek, Antichrist is two words. Avery Christo. Now, that's not how they said it, but I can't read that. Avery means against or in place of. And Christo means anointed Christ Messiah. The Antichrist is one who opposes Christ and acts to replace him, usually associated with the end times. However, John speaks of the spirit of the Antichrist. This is anyone who is against Christ. This is anyone who is against the truth. The spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well, thriving, in fact. Anyone who tries to mislead you, lies to you about the word, tries to deceive or confuse you about the truth, is acting in the spirit of the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is alive and well. Now, John says, you, dear children, in verse 4, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. What an assurance. We don't have to be afraid. All we have to do is use the Bible to verify what people are saying. Use the Holy Spirit that has been given to all of us to know the truth. These are really reassuring words. And I tell you, at the beginning of this study, I could have used them. Because for a long time, I spent time and effort and study in the words to find out how he schemes, how he conspires, and how he plots against Christians. How devious he is. It's almost overpowering. But I stuck to this before I looked at that. And it's Isaiah 41:10. And it is this. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is powerful verification. And not just that, that's a promise. We don't have a fear. We don't need to worry. We don't need to be concerned as long as we hold on to what is true. Because God has us in his hand and holds us up. He protects us. He leads us. He's such a God that at the beginning of time, before we were even here, he knew and offered us salvation through Jesus Christ. And when we accepted salvation, he knew we were going to fail. He knew we were going to stumble, and he knew we were going to walk away. And yet he's so patient and so kind to just say, come along. Come this way. You're going down a really easy path, and it's not the right path. So he comfortingly and caringly allows us to come along the way and directs us. Let's look at 1 John 4, 5, 6. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. John isn't patting himself on the back saying we know all the answers. John is reminding us that the world will only listen to what the world and the ungodly say. While the apostles taught what they had been taught by Jesus Christ, and yet they weren't perfect either. If we look in Galatians, and this isn't up here. This has just been put here. If we look at Galatians, when Paul went into Galatia, I think it's Galatia, is it Galatia? Galatia. He saw and dealt with people that were lying, deceiving others, that they had to live by the law to gain salvation. Even Peter stood on that side of the table for a short time. Peter, the man that walked with Jesus Christ, talked with Jesus, did miracles with Jesus, did miracles because of Jesus, drove out demons because of Jesus. And yet he stood at that side of the table also. We need to be cautious and test the spirits against what we have been taught. True believers will listen to the godly message while unbelievers reject it. Now, John finishes verse 6 with this. This is how we recognize the spirits of truth and the spirits of falsehood. He's finishing with a true fire way of telling the difference between falsehood and between the truth, between what we need to believe and what we need to turn away from. If the world is listening, the spirit of the Antichrist is probably doing the talking. We need to bathe ourselves in the scripture. We need to read, study, sample, and test what is being said against the scripture. When John started, he said, test the spirits. Before Jesus left this earth, he promised to never leave us orphaned. He would send another counselor for his children, the Spirit of Truth. Who is the Spirit of Truth? But the Holy Spirit, who's been left for us today. First John 2:26-27 says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as this anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it had taught you, remain in him. Remain in him. We have the Holy Spirit, have been given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. We already have that Spirit of Truth. We just can't be deceived. As Christians, we have been given the Holy Spirit to teach us. Now, several weeks ago, to give an example of this, during one of the men's Bible studies, we were talking about a similar subject, and Yuha gave an example. He sat underneath a preacher who said some really good things. And then all of a sudden, one thing that preacher said made him turn his head a little bit. He wasn't sure what it was. He wasn't sure if it was right or wrong. But there was something. And the Holy Spirit said, check it out. And it was not right. Test the spirits. Actually, very recently, in last Bible study, I was questioned about a comment I had made. And I got to tell you, I love it. For one, it fosters study. It fosters communication. It fosters looking into the Word to see if it was true. I welcome that. Because we are told to test the spirits. Now, on Paul's second missionary journey, he was going to Macedonia after being chased out of Thessalonica for preaching at a synagogue. Paul went to Berea. Berea is another community south. It is in Acts that we see another example of testing the spirits. This is not going to be up on the overhead. This came in this morning. Oh, is it up there? Oh, how did you get it? Did I give it to you? No. Nice job. That's the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit gave it to me and then gave it to Bryce. And it says, oh, I was going to read that, actually. I don't have it written down. That's how new it is. So, Paul is in Macedonia. He's gone to preach on a mission, and he's been kicked out of Thessalonica because he was preaching the word. Now, it was customary that he went into the synagogues right away and started preaching, and the Jews didn't like that. The Jews of that day didn't like it because it was against what they believed. And they chased him all around. In this case, they didn't beat him, but he was beat several times. So this is what Acts 17, 10 to 12 says. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowd and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left, with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. So here is Paul on a second missionary journey, going to Macedonia, who had not been there yet. And they questioned him. What did they do? They examined the word. This is the truth that Jesus wants us to know. If somebody is telling you something that just doesn't seem right, test the word. If somebody is telling you something that kind of sounds reasonable, but maybe is against the church or against what you used to believe, test the Spirit. I guarantee you, it's here. This is God's breathed word that has been given to us. His word is here. If we only question or challenge what we hear, it isn't enough. Use scripture to verify what you were being told. Pray for wisdom and discernment. Test the spirits to find the truth. Test the spirits. If you're living a life separate from God because of a sin, of belief that is contrary to the word God has given us, then you need to do something about it. Test the word. Amen.